I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Bottom line is, these attacks have to stop. They need to stop. They're unacceptable. The United States, our allies and our partners, will do what we have to do to counter these threats and to protect these ships.
Press Secretary at the White House demanding it is not going to make it happen. What's going to make it happen is what you just said, American firepower, air and naval strikes against the Houthis, against their firing batteries, against their ammunition storage sites and other command and control facilities. That should have happened 2 months ago. The very first strikes the Houthis launched towards Israel or towards our ships or towards commercial vessels that are transiting through the Red Sea, where 1/8 of global commerce goes and even more of global oil trade. The fact that it hasn't happened yet is why these attacks are accelerating. It's the same kind of story you see against the strikes on our troops in Iraq and Syria. The more we let Iran's proxies get away with these attacks, the more we're going to get of them. And sooner or later, Americans are going to die.
That statement from Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, sooner or later, Americans are going to die. Thank God that has not happened yet. But these 100-plus attacks since the Hamas attack, 100-plus attacks of rockets, missiles, drones being fired at military installations or where they know we have U.S. forces in neighboring countries, even the embassy in Iraq. We've had numerous injured, and we really haven't gotten word lately as to how traumatic some of the injuries were. The last report some weeks ago was, well, maybe there were 20 injured, then it was 40, and then some of them, maybe many of them, had traumatic brain injuries. So their life is, they know it could be over, yet they're still breathing. But all of this has to do with how we've been handling the Middle East under the Biden administration. And dealing with the Houthi rebels in particular right now, as they have basically taken control of the Red Sea. That 1,400-mile stretch, running from the Mediterranean Sea down to the Indian Ocean, they basically control it, especially anything headed up the Red Sea to Israel or leaving to go somewhere else and get more supplies. Houthi rebels have been sitting in Yemen and firing rockets, drones, and missiles. And we've had to put a task force in place. I don't think it's fully assembled yet. We have a couple of destroyers, battleships nearby, but we're not pounding the Houthis on the land because of the fear, that it might escalate everything in the Middle East. Now, granted, you have to weigh that, but if they think because of that fear you're not going to do anything, that's the bully seeing someone cower in fear. You're not going to strike back. It doesn't make any difference what I do. And then you were hearing John Kirby of the White House National Council spokesman stating, Security Council, we need to put a stop to it. And then Senator Tom Cotton said, the words are not going to stop it. You got to take action. All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are, December 22nd, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you. You can hear us every Monday through Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. And if you're watching, you can also and should know that we're streaming video at Newstalk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble channels. If you miss any of the audio or video, or you want to go back and pull it up, and share it with others, which I strongly encourage you to do, simply push the share button. You go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. Everything we put on the air for you, video and or audio, is available for you. So an update on what's happening with Hamas and Israel at this point. Well, first of all, the UN Security Council earlier today approved a resolution calling for pauses in fighting between Israel and Hamas, in order to establish humanitarian corridors through Gaza. That supposedly would end days of closed-door negotiations. The resolution passed by the UN Security Council calls for, quote, urgent and extended humanitarian pauses and corridors through the Gaza Strip for a sufficient number of days to enable full, rapid, safe, and unhindered humanitarian access. The U.S. and Russia abstain from that vote, deciding against using their vetoes as permanent members to shoot it down. They simply abstained. One diplomatic source saying that the key issues with the negotiations over the draft included language on cessation of hostilities. In other words, quit shooting at us. Hamas wants the shooting to stop, but they've also apparently said, we're not going to stop fighting until they stop. Well, they're not going to stop until you stop. And we're not stopping until they stop. It's back and forth. Israel has apparently proposed a one-week pause in return for 35 hostages. That would include the remaining women, elderly, and wounded, and sick, even if they're men, being held in Gaza. You give us those 35, we'll give you a one-week pause. But we all know that Hamas would take advantage of that. But Israel is willing to say, we will stop for 1 week. That doesn't mean Israel will stop looking for intel and looking for opportunities to get to Hamas leaders, but we'll stop shelling and firing for 1 week if you give us 35 hostages. You know, none of us like to think of paying ransom for hostages, but that's what Israel will be doing here in the sense of giving a pause in fighting so Hamas can regroup. And there's a flurry of new analysis. This is according to CNN by U.S. intel agencies warning that Hamas's credibility and influence has grown dramatically in the last 2 months. Why would that be? State-controlled media in this nation and around the world parroting the call for from the river to the sea, parroting the call for the genocide of Israel, parroting the call for death to Jews everywhere, and, of course, the increasing number of civilian casualties in Gaza. And why have so many civilians been killed in Gaza? Because Hamas hides in the hospitals and under the baby beds. One hospital official at one of the hospitals had been hit hard, now free of Hamas, can speak, and he has. He said, they were right there in our same rooms, using rooms in the hospital for their own shelter, their equipment, everything else. They knew they were making us a target. They did not care. But, of course, if you hit that hospital, again, to quote the statement directly from UN, from the CNN report, Hamas's credibility, I wouldn't give them ratings for credibility rising, but their influence has grown dramatically. And, of course, Hamas propaganda videos continue to be shopped around, and those who are stupid and not willing to learn anything just suck it up and echo it back out. All right, let me switch to our border policy. We have a decision made by the White House that suddenly, oh, you know, this is an election year. Maybe we need to be doing something about the border.
The White House says it will send Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to Mexico in the coming days to meet with Mexican President Obrador.
They don't need to go to Mexico. All they need to do is change their policies. You know, nothing changed from the only thing that changed from December 19th, 2021 to December 21st, 2021 was Joe Biden replaced Donald Trump as the president of the United States. And Donald Trump's policies on the border were working. We had, you know, record low crossings. And then 2 days later, Joe Biden undoes all of these executive orders of President Trump. And then we start the surge and this unprecedented immigration crisis that we're seeing in the United States. It's all due to Joe Biden and his failed policies.
Obviously, it's due to Joe Biden. Now, that was Florida Congressman Carlos Jimenez, and you're going to hear more on him and from the border coming up in the next hour. I want you to give more on that on the next hour, but let me add this note. There's a report now that according to those who've been researching through the courts, the border crossers claiming asylum now are getting court dates to have their cases heard nearly a decade out. Were they processing them at the border? Oh, you're here for asylum? Okay, here's your slip. He says you can go in the country. Now you're going to have to come to court and explain your reason for asylum. And the first hearing some of them are going to get are 10 years away. No, it does not make any sense for those of you shaking your head. Now, there are also stories coming out of last month's meeting between Biden and Chinese Premier Xi. Stories that, if true, are not good for our nation.
What is coming out, and my sources support it as well, is a rather profound and unprecedented message by President Xi to President Biden. And it had to do with the fact that the onus is on the United States if they want to avoid war over Taiwan. And President Xi told President Biden in some very direct language that the reality for him is that reunification with Taiwan is more important than maintaining the regional peace. And he expects the United States, if they want to avoid war, to support him in his peaceful reunification efforts. So he, I think, has taken a measure of the president similar to what Putin has done and similar to what the mullahs in Iran have done. And they see vulnerability here and an ability also to take advantage of that vulnerability. And they also see in the United States a declining political will in the United States.
Yeah, the political will never has been really strong under the Biden administration. And the rest of the world sees it. They see it. And, of course, now Democrats are also seeing it, especially when it comes to the border. You were listening then to former four-star retired general now, Jack King, on Fox. He's also a Fox analyst. And saying that his sources are indicating that in the conversations that Biden and Xi had back in San Francisco, after the streets of San Francisco were cleaned up of the homeless, all the needles and all the feces were swept from the streets, and Chinese banners put up along the road he would be traveling. Biden apparently sat there and was lectured by Xi that we have plans and you won't be stopping us. That's pretty much what Jack King just said. If that is true, there is once again evidence that this administration bows down to anyone and everyone except the American people. And he's replicating the mistakes we had in the Obama administration. Again, bowing down, showing that, well, we need to apologize before we can do anything. We need to apologize for everything we've ever done to anyone else in the world before we can do anything in our nation. Now, Jack King looks at this not only through his sources or what they're telling him, but other information he has. And the other thing that he knows, China is also watching. China is not stupid. They know Biden is facing re-election difficulties. Not just the possibility of being reelected, but major difficulties even inside his party. They know this is a weak point for Biden in his administration, if there had ever been a big strong point. Maybe the day he took the pledge in the Capitol, on the steps of the Capitol, that might have been the strongest time. But immediately after that, canceling out the Trump stay in Mexico policy, killing Keystone Pipeline, making us more energy dependent upon foreign nations, then also stripping fuel out of our energy reserve to sell to China, much less to spread across the nation so the prices would come down. They've done it again, by the way. The prices are down. I don't know if they took this out of the reserve, but somehow or another they found a way to make the prices a little lower as you go through the travel season this holiday. But the retired four-star general Jack King says China's watching. China's watching.
I think they tried to undermine the United States by taking advantage of lack of political and social cohesion in the United States. Anytime something bad happens, their information operation plugs in to undermine the people's confidence in its government. This is what they're all about. There's also an election coming in Taiwan in January. Right now, the incumbent party is ahead by 7 points. That's the party, the DPP, that has stood up to mainland China under President Tsai's leadership, and her eight-year reign is ending. Her vice president is running for that office. If they are elected and they continue to take a strong stand, I think President Xi has a decision to make. Is he going to take action in the next few years over Taiwan? Many believe that is truly the case.
I think most of us agree that he will. And they're willing to play the long game. We know that. Now, the next words coming from the retired four-star general should be alarming to you, because he talks about if we have to face China, the reality will hit us right in the face.
Is he going to take action in the next few years over Taiwan? Many believe that is truly the case. And they know full well that our military isn't what it used to be, Brian. And are we the most powerful military in the world? Yes. But we get within 1,000 miles of mainland China, the advantage swings to the Chinese. And that's the harsh reality of it. You're likely not going to get a public statement from anybody in the military about something like that. But that's the truth of it.
Yeah, you're not going to get any kind of statement from the administration on that. Dakota Wood with the Heritage Foundation, retired Lieutenant Colonel in the Marines, does for the Heritage Foundation on a constant basis analysis of our capability as a military. And the once a week is always on the Tim Jones Christopher Arps program before we come on air, detailing where we stand, what's going on. And he's related numerous times. We are so far behind in so many areas. It's bad enough that CRT spreading to our military has our soldiers, troops, spending time in classes learning to discuss genders and pronouns and don't make anyone feel hurt instead of being on the battlefield learning to make the enemy hurt. Much less the equipment we have and what we need and what we're not getting. Later in this hour, you know the efforts to ban Trump from the ballot in Colorado and now sweeping into other states, California, where there's a move underway, and we told you it would happen. You want to play that game? Let's work on banning Biden from the ballot. I'll have that story for you coming up later in this hour. And by the way, I'm going to close out this hour with one of my favorite songs. It not only fits the season. This is the song I truly want played when my time comes at my funeral. This rendition will feature Elvis Presley. That's coming up before we wrap up this hour. Coming up next, look what's happening in our cities, especially the blue cities and states. Can we restore law and order in our cities, in our states? And then at what price? Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies. But nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business. Affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well, with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, S-T-O-W-L-O-C-H, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. What I'm about to share with you should come as no surprise, but let's put a source with it. I always like to give you source material where you can go and check, make sure Larry's got it right. If you want to question it or argue it, that's fine. According to Forbes Advisor, blue states and blue cities are the hardest hit by organized retail crime. It's become an issue for retailers nationwide. We've had stores like Target and others saying they're closing because of theft losses and safety precautions. The National Retail Federation reporting more retailers in America felt organized retail crime was a higher priority in 2023 compared to 2022. 78% believe it over this last year. A year ago, it's around 70%. And shoplifting, 88% of retailers say aggressive shoplifters are being seen more and more often. We had one case just the other day, is being reported in a local Walgreens. Guy comes in, starts grabbing everything. One guy tries to stand the door, block him going out, and he pushes past him. Thank God he just pushed past him. Now, or can we possibly rein this in? My guest we've had on numerous times before, an expert on dealing with police training and crime, law enforcement for more than 20 years, Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, now retired, spokesperson for the National Police Association. Betsy, glad to have you back on board.
Hey, it's so great to be back with you as we slide into this holiday weekend. There's still a lot of shopping to be done, and this is going to continue.
And a lot of shoplifting. A lot of shoplifting.
Yeah, it's exactly sad, but true.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, you know, this is no surprise, I think, to anybody, but what's happening, and I really encourage everybody to go read this whole survey that Forbes did, and they've got a lot of good information. But I think one of the things that really struck me was that one of the mitigations for all these retailers is to raise prices.
Right.
That affects all of us, and people need to understand that for, you know, the last 3 years, 3.5 years of the attack on our criminal justice system and the vilification of our law enforcement officers, now it leads to what? Paying higher prices. and also an already lousy economy.
Yeah, and also more goods are locked up. I went to buy some brand name pods to put in the clothes washer the other day. I've got to ring a bell to have a clerk come back and open it. I would have thought I was buying some high-priced single-barrel Jack Daniels or one of my sponsors here, Stolach Whiskey, back behind that. I mean, it's a soap to wash your clothes, and yet they're locking it up.
Well, and retailers find that frustrating. And what this is going to do is lead more and more people who are able to do so, shop online.
Yeah.
And it also leads to retailers leaving neighborhoods where people really need those stores. You know, Walmart pulling out of Chicago, Target pulling out of Minneapolis, and on and on and on. But there's a fix to this, but do we have the intestinal fortitude to do it? I'm not sure.
You're very nice saying intestinal fortitude. I'd say, do we have the balls to get in there and put a stop to it? And I don't mind using that at all. Now, you pointed out something that's crucial, and it does happen not only with this crime. We've seen it in the past. Every time there's a riot of some time, normally the minority community gets hit hardest. They burn down a gas station or a McDonald's or some other fast food franchise. They say, screw it, we're not moving back in there. And then the people say, we don't have access to this, and we don't have cars or transportation that will take us there, and we're being denied. Well, you had it, and you personally didn't destroy it, but the community has done it, and now everybody is going to suffer.
Well, and that's the thing. And, you know, I mean, cops know this. Most people are not criminals. Most people in these neighborhoods are just trying to live their lives, go to work, get their kids to school, and go to the store. The problem is we have kowtowed and catered to that small minority of people who feel that they can commit crimes, steal from stores. And is it organized retail theft? It absolutely is. We all see the videos. And you know why it's happening in states with, you know, like Washington, the District of Columbia, Washington D.C., all of these blue cities and states who have enacted these lax policies toward things like not just retail theft, but also toward drug use, toward homelessness. And, the tide has got to turn for this to be able to stop.
The San Francisco Mayor London Breed has now decided defunding police was not a good idea. Let's put more money into police. In the city of Austin, they're going through the same thing. And I know how that's going to play. That hurts me. That's my birth town, and it used to be a great place to go. But someone I know came back from Austin the other day. He said, it's filled with homeless people. I would have thought I was in San Francisco, and he's been to both. We are seeing a lot of these blue states that had the idea that progressives' idea were good. Let's get rid of police. Let's close the jails. In fact, let's get rid of all the prisons. Nobody needs to be locked up.
Well, and that's the thing. And remember, in these blue states and in these blue counties, we have over 75 George Soros installed prosecutors who, no matter who the police arrest, they will not prosecute, especially crimes like retail theft and drug crimes. I mean, look at Washington State was the number one state in this survey most affected by retail theft. What else happened in Washington State? They legalized almost every drug there is. They have a record drug crime, you know, drug-related crime. And, of course, they have record overdoses. They have, a horrible, horrible homeless problem. And they have vilified their law enforcement to the point where those cops are leaving and they're going to more police-friendly counties or states. And there's not, you know, when you read the survey, one of the things they said that a lot of these retailers don't even bother to report the theft. And part of it was because either nothing will happen or it's just too much of a hassle to report the theft because they can't just call 911 and have a cop come. There's no cop to be able to come. So they have to do an online report electronically, all of that. All of that leads to what? More crime.
And I was surprised by it when it said Washington State. And I was going to raise the question of you, is it because I would have thought California would have been higher. But I hear what you're saying, because they have legalized every drug, basically, in Washington State. And California may move that way at some point, but at least they haven't gone that far. I mean, it's true, right? In Washington State, if it's heroin, cocaine, it's still not really that illegal anymore? Or a wink, wink, nod, we're okay? What?
They mostly get, you know, there's tickets. You know, it's kind of a paper crime now,
right,
with a fine. And if you call a drug rehab hotline provided by the state, you can get your whole case forgiven. And so there is a lot of, but again, legislators are starting to realize that that was a really, really bad idea. Same thing in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., think about how small the district is.
Right.
It was number two in this survey for most affected by retail crime. I think that's incredibly telling. And, you know, the mayor there, again, was a big proponent of defund the police. She has since very much flipped the other way, but her city council is not particularly with her. And so now Washington, D.C., where our White House is, all of our monuments, you know, our representatives, is one of the most high crime cities in the nation.
And I saw the other day either Secret Service agent or FBI agent had his car carjacked from him. I mean, I'm thinking, good God. Now,
he was carjacked driving it.
Yeah.
You know, And again, just so sad. We've had multiple legislators or their assistants physically attacked in violent crimes. But again, when will we stop talking about it? And will we see some movement from our legislators? We can arrest, the cops can arrest everybody there is who commits a crime. But if there's no one to prosecute it, if there's not a judge to put them in prison, then it's all for naught.
And for all those who think we should shut the prisons, they shouldn't be there, I keep saying, well, then open doors at your house. Let them stay at your house. Offer to put your house place for them to stay. I haven't heard any lefty.
Exactly.
I haven't heard one progressive come forward and say, yeah, I'll do that. And I'll leave my door open like we have our open border. So you can come and go as you want, take what you want, and we don't know who you are. They don't do that. They want us to live under that, but they don't. And they, in many cases, like Cori Bush of Missouri, I'll hire my own security detail. You're on your own.
That's exactly it. We had a Texas legislator, one of the biggest proponents of defund the police, just yesterday demanded additional police protection at his home. It's beyond hypocritical.
And I don't want anyone to be hurt by it, but maybe then it would wake them up a little bit more. But also, I fear that the repercussions and the damage to them, their families, could, you know, go beyond just waking them up. Well, in our final 30 seconds or so here, what do you see that we can do going into 2024, and how do we bolster the morale in our police departments?
Well, we are seeing the pendulum swing the other way. So I would ask everybody, go to nationalpolice.org, sign up for our newsletter, take a look at all the terrific articles we have there, arm yourself with the truth about the American law enforcement officer, and then as you go through the holidays and into the new year, every time you see a cop, smile at him, wave, and thank him for what they do.
Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, now retired with the National Police Association. You started your career as a police dispatcher at the age of 17. Did you think we'd ever see this world around us now?
I never envisioned this, and I sure hope we can turn it around. I think we can.
I hope so, too. Thank you, and may we wish you and your family and police officers all around the nation and your organization a most blessed Christmas.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you. Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, now retired with the National Police Association. Check it out, National Police Association, and get some more details and share with others. As I said before we wrap up this hour, I want you to hear a song that I really want played at my funeral when that day comes. I'm not trying to rush to it. But before that, all these efforts to ban Trump from the ballot, well, there's more backlash. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in. And I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President, she's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
I'm chasing tail lights, straight as a crow flies, hunting just a standard country road. I've got a shotgun, it's riding shotgun, and we're both fixing to unload. Son, I know what you've done, there's only one way to outrun me. You better pray.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
A federal judge in West Virginia has rejected a bid by a claim that Donald Trump should be removed from the West Virginia ballot. Some interesting twist in this story. The U.S. District Judge wrote that the evidence that the plaintiff had filed, a Mr. Castro, based in Texas, by the way, long ways from West Virginia, submitted reasons to take Trump off the ballot, but she said that what he submitted removes any doubt that his purported campaign exists as a vehicle for pursuing legislation, litigation, actually, she said, not votes. So therefore, she said he couldn't prove any political activity in the state aside from the lawsuit he filed. He has also been filing apparently at least two dozen lawsuits to remove him from other remove Trump from other ballots. Earlier this month, a judge in Arizona dismissed a similar lawsuit by this same guy. Now, of course, he and the state of Colorado are relying upon using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment that stipulates anyone who engaged in an insurrection in the U.S. cannot be a presidential candidate. We had Hans von Spakovsky on the other day, heritage constitutional lawyer, and also a federal officer with the Federal Election Commission. And he pointed this out. This Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was created because of the Civil War. They did not want the leaders of the Confederacy going back to their states, being elected to the Senate or House, and then showing up and maybe causing more issues. They had, in fact, been involved in a true insurrection called the Civil War. Trump is far from anything like that. We know that. And Hans also pointed out, following the passage of that Section 3, two more laws were passed in late 80s that basically wiped out that entire Section 3 anyway. And the bottom line is, Trump is not even charged with insurrection. You're going to hear people going around and claiming he's an insurrectionist. Where's the charge? Does that mean I can go around and say that Biden is a filthy bribery and treason against our nation? Oh, I can say it, but you're going to have some charge. You're going to have some evidence, direct evidence. Do I suspect? Yes, I suspect. But that's not a reason to remove Biden, not at this point. Not on Larry Connors' suspicion. The bank documents and bank records, however, that's going to be a different story as the House continues to dig into them. Now, in addition to Democrats trying to get Trump off the ballot, this raises a very interesting question. Why do they think they need to get rid of it? For the same reason they've done it all along, to muddy him, slander him, because they fear they cannot beat him any other way. And I don't care if you're an anti-Trumper. You have to acknowledge the facts at play. They're doing it because they don't think they can beat him. And what they are basically doing, they're adding fuel to his campaign, because every time they do something like this, more people stand up and say, that's not American. I will not stand for it. In fact, in the next hour, I'm going to give you a breakout, a new look at how the black populace is looking at Trump. And more of them are going with Trump. You know why? Because they think he's being railroaded. And on the other side, if you want to play that game, and I said, watch for Republicans' reaction. So three Republican state lawmakers now trying to ban Joe Biden from ballots in Georgia, Arizona, and Pennsylvania. Now, if that happened, he'd have even more difficulty winning the Democrat primary. Losing those states are all vital swing states. They're using the same argument that was used in Colorado. What's that saying? What's good for the goose, good for the gander? That's kind of the way they're looking at it. Oh, you want to play that game? Okay, I can play that game. There was a game when I was younger, a stupid game. I'm going to acknowledge that right now, that we used to play. If kids are listening, this is not a smart idea. I was a West Texas redneck kid, and I didn't know anything. Whatever we did, you know. Didn't hurt anybody, but we could have. We all carried knives, open fold-out knives. Not to cut on anything, but we'd be whittling, stuff like that kids were doing. I remember one time the principal came in and said, with a box, had a big bow on it, said, hey, I need help getting this bow off these boxes. Any of you boys have any knives on you? And a couple said, I do, I got one. He said, okay, well, he said, hey, I might need a better one. These don't look that sharp. Anyone else? Well, then a couple more did. And he said, well, anybody got something better? I think I'm going to need a better one. Well, pretty soon he's got every knife from every boy in that classroom. And he just lifts the top off the box. It was not wrapped down. Drops the men. Says you get them at the end of the school year. But when we had them, we would often sometimes play, sometimes in the schoolyard, although normally we did it during the summer when you weren't having shoes on. Yeah, we were running around barefoot. Stand there with your feet, and a guy throws a knife as close as he can get to your foot without stabbing you. It was stupid. I didn't say we were drinking smart Kool-Aid. Maybe we had too much Kool-Aid. But then you reach a point where, well, I want to do that to you now. My turn. No, no, no. I get to do it. You don't do it. Oh, no, no. We're going to play the other way. Now, here comes a former U.S. attorney, assistant U.S. attorney, Andrew Weissman, supposedly a very learned man about law. And here's what he says about these challenges about Trump being on the ballot. And he said, Americans died in the Civil War, so leaders who engaged in insurrection should not be able to run and hold office. That is such a major leap in ideology, much less law. Here is a former assistant U.S. attorney suggesting that Trump is as guilty of what we saw with Civil War. In the Civil War between 1851 and 55, 620,000 Americans died. 620,000. But now I'm going to quote from him. He said, I don't know why people are all concerned about this. He said, right after the Civil War, they passed this amendment saying if you engage in this kind of conduct, that'd be like a civil war, you cannot be in any federal position. So this historically is really important in terms of how many people died in this country. And I just told you, 620,000. And he continues, I mean, this is the largest loss of life in America at the time was over the Civil War and why we have this amendment. So people should take it seriously. It's important for the Supreme Court to hear it and make a decision. People should be behind it because this law was written so those who engage in insurrection like the Civil War cannot hold office. I don't care what you want to claim Trump has done, but he's done nothing anywhere near the Civil War. And there was no insurrection January 6th. Were there protests and people acting out and out of order in some cases? I will agree. Especially if they were battling police behind their shields. That I'm going to agree with. But for those who just walked to the Capitol and they're also being rounded up, no. And they're fabricating all of it on a law that was passed after the Civil War. And here you have a former U.S. District Attorney saying, Trump's just as guilty as General Lee was. No way. No way. But the uninformed and those in the echo chamber will pick it up and run with it and say, yeah, here are the reasons. We can certainly get rid of him now. I'm going to deal more with Biden and the border issues, and there's an issue for me as to if you're looking to put someone and say they're not fit to be in office and endangering our country, an insurrection, that would be Biden leaving our border wide open. I'll get into that more in the next hour. Next hour. But coming up, I want to close out this hour with one of my favorite songs. It not only fits the season, it's the one I seriously, and I mean this, this is the song I've told my girls, I won't play it at my funeral. When the time comes, don't rush it. This rendition, by the way, features Elvis Presley. When we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone. Or your entire office, Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Those words are from John Newton, who wrote them in 1772, basically. John Newton was a slave trader who nearly died in a shipwreck, later became a minister. And he penned those words for a sermon he was going to give in 1773 at a church of St. Peter and St. Paul. For New Year's service. He's Anglican, But he wrote the words, like I say, in 72 when he was in Bridgetown. Now, later in 1835, an American Baptist song leader, William Walker, paired the lyrics with the traditional tune, New Britain. And that's what you were hearing from Elvis Presley then. Amazing Grace. It is about redemption, the joy of receiving God's grace, even if you've done terrible things, being a slave trader. And he survived that shipwreck and turned into the ministry and wrote that powerful the lyrics, and then later they became a song. Newton acknowledged that he had done so many things wrong in his life. And when it was presented, it relieves so much, or rather relies so much upon that issue of redemption. That's what we all need nowadays. I don't care what your faith is. I don't care how good you think you are, or how good you actually have been, or how bad you are. Don't you want to make things right in your life before you leave this world? There might be some that say, no, I'm just fine. I don't need to change anything. Even though I'm a terrorist and carried out numerous bombings and killing innocent people, I'm fine. Maybe there's some like that. But I think for most of us, we start taking account of our lives and what we've done and what we have not done. And I will tell you this, and here I can speak of experience. The older you get, the more you take into account mortality. When you're a young kid, like I was saying earlier, throwing knives down at someone's feet, they're throwing down at yours, or they're doing something stupid that's going to maybe get somebody killed by mistake or on purpose, you think you're immortal. I remember precisely one day doing a story inside of a prison, and one of the guys that was in there, he told me, he said, he didn't use the term OG, but basically old gangster. He said, but I'm scared of these young hoods out here. They don't understand. You die, you're done. You don't punch reset and start the game over again. He said they don't understand life, and therefore they don't understand the eternal lasting they're going to face. And there's a phrase inside this song, one of many, that haunts me all the time.
Shining as the sun, we know less days to sing God's praise than when we first.
It all began saying that when we've been here 1,000 years, we've no less than when we begun. And I was blind, but now I see. So I've been thinking about life like that. I mean, those of us who are blessed with sight, we see great, beautiful things God created. We see great, beautiful things man's created. And we also see the horrific things that happen in life. The blind, if they were born blind, never know, never see the color or understand anything of that nature. But when you're blind in life in a different way, spiritually and morally, even if we're not talking about spiritual, if you're blind morally, at some point, hopefully the scales will be dropped from your eyes and you will see. And then you need grace, amazing grace, for all you've done, ignored, and maybe encouraged others to do. This Christmas is all about Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ. I encourage you to remember it that way. And even for my Jewish friends, they know I love them as well. My faith is built upon Christ, and I don't back down from it. And I do remind you of our pledge. one nation under God.